But we'd bring him back to our place, to our house, and then we'd get up early in the morning, get the kids up, take them to my mother-in-law's, and then go to the picket line, to the office, picket line and office, early in the morning.
You didn't get much sleep then?
No, didn't get much sleep. And even later on, I kept on asking, I remember there was a time I kept on asking Caesar for a car, that I needed a car, because I couldn't be getting up early. I would arrive at the office, at the 102 Albany office. I would arrive, sometimes Caesar would arrive. We both had a key. So sometimes I got in early. When I got in early, then I'd clean up the place, sweep, and, whatever. And so I kept telling him, that I needed a car, and I needed a car. And no, there were no cars. I was told there were no cars. That was later on, because I remember he was laid up. Remember, he was laid up in the, we had the Albany office, the 102 Albany office, then we had the pink house in the back, then we'd have the service center where you used to work. And then Caesar was laid up on his back at Nicolás Rubalcaba's house. Remember that Nicolás Rubalcaba moved out, and Caesar took over the house there. And so that was when I first had my first nervous breakdown. Well, things had already been happening to me, because there were different things that were coming. My lips were swelling like big, I had different symptoms of different things, which I figure now it was stress. And that time was the nervous breakdown, I think. I call it a nervous breakdown because I was, I remember I went in to open the safe. I walked from the membership department through the accounting office where Rudy Omada used to be. And then I went to the hiring hall where there used to be a safe, a hole in the ground. Remember, we used to, it was a combination and all that. And I used to go and open the safe to get the money for the membership department, the change. And I walked through the accounting office, and then I saw all these checks on top of the desk. And so I went and I looked at them, being nosy. And I saw that somebody was getting $15 a week instead of the $5 that we were getting, and had gotten a washer and a dryer. And so that blew my mind, because I had been asking for a car just so that I could come. And the tears started coming. I started crying and crying. Nobody was there, it was just me. And I left the things there, and I walked to open the safe, and I was crying and crying. The tears just kept on coming. And then I walked back to the membership department. At that time, Rudy was coming in, and he says, "Esther, what's wrong?" And he saw me that I was crying, and I said, nothing. I went back, I composed myself and went back to my department, membership department. And then I continued working. And then later on, I went to, at noontime, I would go and meet Helen. Helen would leave the credit union, and which was there also. Then I went, she would go and cook for Cesar Chavez. She would go and cook for him. And so I went over there for lunch, and I went in, and Helen was cooking something for Caesar. And and she said, "Hi, Esther." And I just broke down again. The tears started coming. And then she said, "What's wrong?" And I couldn't answer her. And I was crying. And Ann Puharish was there. And she saw me. And that was her name, Ann Puharish, no? And Israel, Aunt Piharish, and Israel at the time. Yeah, she was there. And so right away, they started calling to see where they could get a hold of Marion Moses, who wasn't a doctor then. She was still not a doctor. She was a nurse. And so they called her, and she came right away. They found her, and she came. And then she started talking to me. And then I told her what was wrong. So then she met with Caesar. I feel bad because Caesar was there on his back, and here I am, you know. Anyway, Caesar got a hold of the radio, got a hold of Manuel, had him come in, and he talked to us. We went into his bedroom where he was laid flat on his back, and he talked to us, and he told me that the reason that these things happened to me was because I was very quiet, and I always took everything inside, and I never let anything out. And so that was why I became such a loudmouth later. but what he did was he took our car away from Manuel, and he assigned me our car. And he got another older car for Manuel. That was such a kick. I always get a kick out of that because, I mean, that was our car, and he assigned it to us.
Well, how did you pay your bills at that time?
Well, let's go back to 65 when we weren't getting any money at all, and we had just bought a car, and there was no money, and we were about to lose a car, and so we talked to Caesar, and Caesar told us to become members of the credit union. And so we borrowed the money to pay the payments that we were behind in the car. And the car was already assigned, had already been assigned to the strike as being the scout car. And so we became members of the credit union, paid our $25, and we borrowed on it. And later on, when we started getting money in, and that was one of the bills that was paid by the union, by the association.
What bills did the union pay for you?
Rent, utilities. When we started getting paid, which was probably sometime in January, no? After we received some money from the United Auto Workers. The first money that we received was from Walter Ruther, the United Auto Workers. That was already, was it sometime around December? Yes.
December of 65.
Yeah, December of 65 was the first time. I remember that we used to bring, or strikers, we used to bring their dues. They'd tell us, bring your bills in. And we'd bring our bills, and then they would get lost. Until Roger Taronis said, bring the bills to me. I'll take care of them. They won't get lost with me. So we started bringing the bills into Roger.
Roger was one of the officers.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so, but it wasn't, when did Roger die? Was it too long? Huh?
67, was it?
Yeah, I think it was, they had gone to San Francisco on the boycott.
You had gone to San Francisco?
No, they had. Roger was in San Francisco, had been assigned to San Francisco on the boycott when he came. He came home to visit his family, and then we were already in the Quonset hut over there on Mettler. Yeah, and he had come home to visit his family, and he was, I guess the car didn't start, and he was getting ready to leave. So that was when.
Well, his car needed a push.
Yeah, his car needed a push. And they pushed it, and the bumper's locked, and he got on top of it. The bumpers unlock, and so then he fell. The car started, I guess, and he fell back and hit his head in the back of his head, and was taken to Delano Hospital. And in Delano, he died on his way to Bakersfield, no? Because he...
I don't know where he died, but I do remember his funeral was in Corcoran.
Yeah. No. He died, and Marion went and had a fight with the hospital because they said that they couldn't do anything. I think they needed to do a tracheotomy. And they said that his neck was too fat. So they sent him, and he died in the ambulance on his way to Bakersfield.
He was a very fine person.
Yes.
A hardworking person.
So that was, so then we started getting our bills paid sometime in January, I guess, of 66. whatever we had. Well, we had to pay rent and utilities, and then the $5 a week.
The $5 a week was for your personal spending?
For our personal spending, because we used to get the food from the donations, the food that came in, and clothes from the donations of clothes.
And that was all out of the Arroyo strike camp, right?
Yes. And so that went on for a long time.
You never received a salary from the union, did you?
I get a salary now. Well, I never received a salary from the union until, when was it, 1971, I was still getting paid, I was still getting bills paid 1971 when I went to work at the clinic. As a bookkeeper at the clinic, I was still getting volunteer. I was still volunteer. The rent was still being paid for me and all this. I didn't get, it was a long time. I was still getting paid when, Ben Maddock was a director.
Did he actually pay you a salary?
No.
You just had your bills paid, didn't you?
Yeah. We were still just getting bills paid, huh? But at that time, but there was a certain time that I was working with Ben Maddock, and I don't remember if it was already, when was it? And I was getting, I had asked for family assistance. I was getting $150 family assistance a month. And then later on, Manuel talked to Ben, because Manuel was no longer in the union then. He had bought a car. What was the car? I don't remember what car it was. But he was going to lose it because he wasn't working steady. And he talked to Ben about continuing with the payments, the union continuing the payments of the car, paying them for me on my behalf, and I would take over the car. And Ben agreed.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would have been, what, in the 80s, 1980s?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But it wasn't until after Cesar Chavez died that
I started getting paid. That I started getting it was after he died that we started getting salaries.
He wanted everyone to be volunteers.
Yeah.
So for all those many years, you were a volunteer and you had your basic bills paid, mm-hmm. and then you just had to make do, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what is it like to, I mean, you couldn't go shopping, could you, for clothes or?
Well, I was, once in a long, long while, I remember we used to shop with our $5. Well, of course, always looking for clearance sales. But I still continue looking for clearance sales all the time.
But your clothes came from the donations, no?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I continued dressing from the donations, and everybody always thought I was well dressed. But
Okay.
Yeah, so now.
What about? I want to talk a little bit about the strike. I want to talk about the strike breakers. Who were the scabs? Where did the scabs live?
In the towns, in the different towns.
How did you know who the scabs were?
Where they were?